Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we have got a wonderful, wonderful subject that we're going to be talking about. And my guest today is Peggy Collins, and her book is called Help is Not a Four-Letter Word, Why Doing It All is Doing You In. Does that sound a little familiar? Do you feel a little overwhelmed? Well, we're going to be chatting with Peggy now. And it is a delight, Peggy, to have you on the air. And I have to tell you, I was looking at my own personal mirror every time I turned a page in your book. Good grief.
I'm hearing so many people say that, Donna, and I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to get the word out there.
Well, it's absolutely delightful. And you have your own speaking and training business, Peggy, and you've been involved with people from all different walks of life, trying to empower them. You're in Henderson, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to chuckle because usually when we write about things like this, we have a personal situation that says, hey, folks, let me tell you why I'm telling you about this.
Exactly.
It's me. Tell us your story. What motivated you to write this? Because I don't know of anybody that I'm aware of, especially professional people, that wouldn't say what I just said. Felt like I was looking at myself in a mirror.
And Don, doesn't it amaze you that nobody's written about this?
I think we, how can I say that? This. It's this. Nah. We'll wait a while on this one.
I know you're right. And as you well know, since you've been kind enough to read the book, you know it took me a long time to really work through this, because the question you were asking, February 2nd, 1987, I was an executive traveling about 30% of the time in Dallas, Texas. I was sitting at my desk on this particular day. I was thinking about my two children. I had made a promise to myself that I would never, ever miss a school event, even though I travel so much, and I didn't. And I had a husband who liked to see me once in a while, and two aging parents that really were requiring some care. And, of course, I had self-appointed myself as their health care manager, so mm-hmm. I had all that. And, frankly, I can still remember how proud I felt about being able to do all that. That was a tremendous accomplishment. And if somebody walked in my office and said, will you do this too, I would say, of course, you know, I can do that. Well, you can imagine my surprise when I sat there and the walls just started closing in.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was that I was having a heart attack. And I made my way to the restroom, and I describe that in the book, because the cold marble of that wall, Donna, will be with me the rest of my life. That cold marble with my cheek against it brought me back to the moment, and I tried to figure out what was wrong. You know, I thought, should I go to the hospital? I had lunch plans with friends, and that was a turning point in my life that I look back and realize, because I chose friends.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I would have driven myself to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
like a good self-sufficient. But
of course, that's what you're supposed to do.
Of course.
You're a miracle worker. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I sat at lunch and just poured it all out on the table, and those poor people, those women had never, ever heard me admit to having a hangnail, and so they just sat there in shock.
Mm-hmm.
But Holly, my dear friend Holly, said, Peggy, I think you were having a panic attack. And, of course, I went to the doctor, and he said she was absolutely right. So, but instead of doing what some women are doing these days, Donna, and it really does frighten me, I have to tell you, in workshops I do across the country, it isn't unusual for a woman to come up afterwards and say, oh, yeah, I'm having panic attacks. And she says it to me like it's just part of her life,
mm-hmm.
like she's just woven it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that for women, you know, that they're putting up with that, because it scared me so badly. It became a real crisis for me in my life, and I had to know, I had to understand it. And so from that time until this, That's what I've done little by little in workshops. It's kind of unraveled and revealed itself more through other people, perhaps, than even by looking inside myself.
I think that so often when we are teaching, when we are out there interacting with people, there is that awareness that there's really not a heck of a lot of difference between most of us.
Isn't that the truth?
We live in a very, how do I want to say, almost like an eggshell, self-imposed environment. Does that sound a little melodramatic?
No, I think that's a great description.
And when I went through your book and you had so many wonderful statements, that I had to start off with your story right off the bat, because I think that when we can admit to certain things and talk about certain things and we can bring them out, then that gives people, because they usually will put you up on a pedestal and say, oh, well, my goodness, you're the consummate professional. I'd just like to be like you. And then all of a sudden they hear this story out of your mouth where you had this massive panic attack because you were trying to be super colossal superwoman and make sure your nails were dry at the same time.
Exactly.
And it's asinine. It really is.
You know, that's a good word for it.
It really is asinine.
How can we do that to ourselves?
Well, I don't know about you, but for me it was training. And I'm going to share my story a little
bit. Please
do. And the reason I superimpose it, because you had a story in here about a brick wall. And I said, you know, that reminds me of what happened to me when I was a teenager. And I had a very dear friend, because I was a very private kid, and it's stand on your own 2 feet, and you never complain, and the very things you mentioned in your book. And one day she came up to me and she said, you know, Donna, you've got a brick wall around yourself about 2 miles deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someday, if you don't put a window in that brick wall, someone's going to come along with a bulldozer and crush it. And that is exactly what happened about 2 years later.
What an image. I love that.
So,
I mean, I love the image of that. It's
mm-hmm.
so metaphorical, isn't it?
It is. And when I was going through your book, and for those of you listening, if you didn't catch the title of our book, it's called Help is Not a Four-Letter Word. When doing it all is doing you in. And I think for women today, I think it's always been the case of women. I think women, if they were responsible women, were always juggling more than one pot of conditions. They may not have been, quote-unquote, the wage earner in the family, but many times they were. You didn't hear about it, but they were. So here we are in a fast-paced world. We've got this going. Tell us your definition of self-sufficiency syndrome, interdependence with others, and self-sufficiency. Can you break that down for my listeners?
Sure, I would love to, because I don't want your listeners to think for a minute that I'm criticizing self-sufficiency. It's what made this country great. Our country's built on the pillar of self-sufficiency. We are an individualistic society, and we've done very well with it. But like any strength, when we take it too far, where it becomes a weakness, where we're just out on the edge of a seesaw, stuck, and don't know what to do, that's what I'm calling self-sufficiency syndrome. It's kind of, Donna, what I describe in workshops, you know, the people that get up in the morning, like I used to, sit on the edge of the bed and wonder how they're going to get through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are responsible for everything in their own minds, and they have so much to do, they're not going to be able to make it. They're in a high level of stress. It's also a reaction, because we can look at somebody and see that that's the way they're reacting to life.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I look at people and think, what are they afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a deep fear that's keeping them in that extreme behavior.
Absolutely. And I think it has taken me a number of years. It's not been an easy transition, because so often those thinking processes, those habits that we acquire when we're young, the stiff upper lip syndrome, for
mm-hmm.
example, that is something, by golly, you don't ever let anybody know you need help. You don't ever do such and such. You've got to make sure this is how it is. And there's a reason, there's a good level of that. But there does come a time, especially if you're taking care of, you know, kids and elderly parents, and you're married and you've got a household and you've got a business, you've got all of these things. I'm sorry, but something's going to give somewhere.
It is, and it's going to take a personal choice. You talked about interdependence. What I think we don't realize when we start thinking about depending on someone else is that some of us didn't get what we needed in that first stage of dependency. And we think of dependency in the childlike stage where we really should have gotten the ability to trust. Mm-hmm. And I certainly didn't get that, as you well know. And so we've got to go back and build trust as an adult, and I call that healthy adult dependency, because I use the seesaw as a metaphor through the book. So if you envision standing on top of a seesaw, and one end of it is self-sufficiency and the other end is dependency, when you're able to choose to pivot to whichever end of the seesaw, you know how we used to stand up as kids, I don't know if you ever did that, and we kind of pivot our weight,
mm-hmm.
so if the seesaw would go up and down, you get thrown off sometimes, but when you can pivot as an adult on that seesaw to the side it calls for, if the project can be done better through collaboration, through a whole bunch more creativity, and the relationship that's developed along the way in working together is a choice that you make because it's important, then you pivot toward dependency.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take your self-sufficiency with it, because when you blend those two, you get interdependence.
That, I think, is something when we can become aware of that and make it okay, regardless of what the past has been. When we can make it okay, then we can say, I've got to trust somewhere. Then you're making a breakthrough.
I think you are, too. And, of course, the first thing to realize is that this is my belief. And as you well know, I'm not a psychologist. As a matter of fact, McGraw-Hill, my publisher, made this book contingent upon my getting a psychologist to write the foreword and say a blessing on it. And so Dr. Monica Bosco was kind enough to do that and said she, you know, thoroughly agreed with it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are going to have to make that personal choice that you're talking about and just go back and tweak our behavior and move a little more toward balance. This isn't about becoming a whole new person overnight. This is about taking baby steps toward a little more balance.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, in today's world, we have so much that is pummeled into our mental arenas by stuff we see in the paper or in the news, and fear just compounds. And sometimes we just need an outlet somewhere where we can make it okay that we are going to be able to get through the day, first of all. But it's okay to work with other people. It's okay to say, I'm just not able to do this. Or I don't have the income to take care of X, Y, Z. Or I'm at my wit's end, just like you did with your friends. And how wonderful of your friends to be supportive of you. I think that is really great. Lots of times people will just turn around and say, what's with you? And often when they don't listen with wisdom, they're afraid to be able to relate to exactly what you're saying. They feel, oh, my God, if you're falling apart, what in the blue blazes is going to happen to me?
That's exactly right. That's because particularly you described earlier people looking up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when that person falls off the pedestal, what does that mean to them?
Oh, and they go, well, I can't handle it. If you can't handle it, how am I going to handle my life? And I think that is something that we all have to remember is that people are just people, regardless of what their status is economically, professionally, whatever it may be in life. They're just as vulnerable as the rest of us, and it's when we can have that trust and when we can have that interaction and we can recognize that nobody gets through life without some squeaks, creaks, groans, and moans. I mean, that's just the fact.
Isn't that the truth? And something that really hits me as you're saying all that is that person who will admit it and just sit down and say, hey, I've had enough. I've got to do some adjusting. I can't go on like this. This is ridiculous. All of a sudden, when they do collaborate and they reach out to others, they start to feel, for the first time often, like they belong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you've got listeners out there that could think, I don't ever remember feeling like I belonged.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have many women say that to me. And it's hard to feel like you belong when you're up on a pedestal, but we're creating that image every single day. We look bulletproof.
Yes, and we're not.
We look like we don't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I know you remember the story of the woman who came to my workshop and she filled out a little questionnaire, and she was very self-sufficient, and so she said, would you mind if I take one home to my 16-year-old daughter?
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote me a letter, Donna, and she said, in fact, I have it in my office because it means so much to me. She said that the mother wrote her, or I'm saying that the mother wrote me, and said she went home, and the first question she asked her 16-year-old daughter before she gave her the questionnaire was, do you think I act like I don't need anybody? And she said it took her daughter exactly 10 seconds to say, yes, mother, you act like you don't need anybody. And then the daughter went on to score even higher as a self-sufficient than her mom did.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And so she said, the mom, and you know how much this meant to me, Donna, she ended by saying, what this has done for us is start a very valuable conversation that we've needed to have for years.
That is a fabulous, fabulous story. No wonder you'd keep that letter handy. That
it's,
really awesome.
That made it worth everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the things, too, is being open to accepting help when people offer it.
Yes.
Boy, that was a tough one for me to get to. Whoo! It was, no, 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 that's not what you're supposed to do. And now I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to wash your dishes? Here, I'll provide the soap.
Me too. Oh, it's interesting how things change. But also, what we need to mention to your listeners is that part of that is about having to let go of control.
Yes.
Because we self-sufficients really need, and I'm underlining the word need, to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in fear, control is the manifestation of it. You know, if you see somebody out there, maybe someone has a friend who just acts like a control freak, they might ask themselves, what is that person afraid of? Because
mm-hmm.
believe me, they are in fear.
That is so true. I think that it's very hard to recognize it in ourselves. It's easier sometimes to recognize it in someone else. But there's something I've noticed. When we are more open with ourselves, it is easier for us to be more compassionate with others, because we recognize that just as we're fallible, so other people are fallible. And lots of times it takes just a great deal of willingness to make it okay to let them do whatever they're doing, and then maybe just interject a little something every now and then to remind them that there is help if they want it.
Yes, yes. And as you said, the magic word there in your sentence was open. Because the self-sufficient is very closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we stay busy as can be because we don't want to have to look at ourselves and to the point that you made, how that might reflect in others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to actually see ourselves in others and the control and so forth. The biggest aha, the light bulb that went on for me, Donna, during the process of looking at myself about this issue, is when I realized that there's a huge difference between taking charge of your life and taking control. And that I was controlling everything. And I've always loved to read.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day, I can remember it vividly, when I realized that I was writing everybody else's scripts.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't allowing them to have any adventure at all in their lives because I was telling them exactly how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I could just stand back and watch everything unravel, whether it was good or bad, then all of a sudden I was in charge of my life. And that was a huge, huge shift.
And isn't it amazing when you let go like that? When you let go and you say, I don't have to tell my kids exactly what to do. I don't have to account for every minute of their day. I don't have to direct my husband. I can ask, and if he decides he doesn't want to do it, you say, okay, fine, I'll find another option. When you can do that, that is a load lightener that is incredible.
The freedom is just, I just can't even describe it. But also, people need to remember that we're not asking them to go to the other extreme.
Right. You don't want to become a bum. That's not what we're saying.
Or let go entirely. You know, a self-sufficient
mm-hmm.
really thinks in extremes
mm-hmm.
because we're living in an extreme, and so we think of the other end. Finding the middle is the toughest part of this, isn't it?
It really is, and I think so much of it has to do with this false image of what might be defined as success.
Oh.
It's very difficult. I have said for years the most difficult part of life's journey is discovering your own individuality. The difficulty with that is you may look at someone else and use them as an image, and maybe you think they are the epitome of what you want, and it may be true for some. But if you really have integrity with yourself, it may not be what you want. And to be able to really be with integrity with yourself, that takes guts, and that takes a willingness sometimes to do exactly what you said, and that's letting go of controlling things and giving time to yourself so that you can do that investigation you need. And maybe you've been a corporate manager and you realize that's not really what you want to do. You'd like to sell chicken eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go sell chicken eggs.
That's right. That's right.
It's tough. It really is. It's not easy because we have all of this stuff that we're indoctrinated from so many different levels, whether it's school, church, parents, whatever. To be the individual is really a challenge. That's just my positioning.
Well, and I think it's a perfect one. Do you know, we haven't said, and I think it's important, one of the major things that produces self-sufficiency, it's not the only thing, but that produces self-sufficiency syndrome and the self-sufficient, is that our culture says it's a weakness to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all been raised like that, and that image that you're talking about has been created as a result of all that. And if we can just look and have the realization that, oh my gosh, anybody in their right mind knows it's not a weakness to ask for help. It takes courage. It takes risking. It takes letting go of some of the control. It takes being fearful that maybe the person will just think you're an idiot. It's hard to ask for help, and so it's a strength. And I want people to make a personal choice for themselves, just exactly like you're saying, Donna, that what do they want? Sit down and get to know themselves and make a personal decision. Let's change this culture that says asking for help is a weakness.
I agree. I think it's very important. I think also when you acknowledge what it is that is most important to you and you are able to recognize that, you're not just empowering yourself. You're empowering people around you. And that is something we don't often see. But one of the most effective aspects of any success, whether it's a family, a business, it is good teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
That is success. Good teamwork. And nothing's going to ever, you know, float with flowers and perfume all the time. But it is something that when you have a good team, if you get down in the dumps, a member of your team will fill in for what you need.
That's right. That's the beauty of collaboration.
That's right. And it's tough. And I think what makes it even tougher sometimes is that each of us as individuals all have our own issues, our own world that we've been a part of. And there's something in your book that I think is wonderful, and that is that you have a number of different exercises that people can do. And they're not long or, you know, involved. They're just thought-provoking exercises. You mentioned the different type of self-sufficiency. You have terms for them.
Mm-hmm.
You have just some wonderful insights into if we want to do some changes with ourselves, we need to realize that, like a vessel, you can... Mother Nature abhors a vacuum. So if you're going to undo a certain patterning, you've got to have something else to put in its place. And you talk about a Dr. William Bridges, an industrial psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he wrote a real good book called Transitions. Tell us about Dr. Bridges and why you choose to use him as a model in your book.
Well, I've used his model for years and years with his permission. And as a matter of fact, I met him in Minneapolis many years ago. And isn't it interesting when it all came together, Donna, that was an integral part of my answer?
Mm-hmm.
The teacher teaches what the teacher needs to learn.
Yes.
But Dr. Bridges says that we can't have an ending and a beginning simultaneously. And by an ending to anything. So the ending of being a self-sufficient and the beginning of being what I call a sufficient self. We can't do that simultaneously. So he says we need a sort of a part in between, and he calls that the neutral zone. And I love that because people often think when they're making a change, they're feeling so out of control and they're feeling so powerless. And so in workshops, when I'm doing this particular model, I share something, and I haven't said this on a radio show, Donna, so this is a first. I don't admit this to many people, but I drag raced when I was a kid.
Ooh, cool.
Well, I don't have a drag race image, so people are usually shocked. In fact, people say I look like a CFO. But anyway, having said that, the power of a car has always been, you know, a very important thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I used to drag race and we had a shift car, you know, you had neutral. And we still have neutral today.
Yes.
That means the power is on in the car. You just haven't decided what direction you're going in. And so that's what I always tell people to think about in the neutral zone. The power's on. You just are deciding which direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not out of control at all. Bridges says that in the neutral zone, you look for opportunities. This is the place where you can risk. And this is the place where you can heal from whatever you need to do, healing from that ending. We always have to grieve an ending, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that model. I just think it's so appropriate for what you and I are talking about.
You have a quote that I think blends right with what you're talking and discussing about right at the moment. Interdependence is and ought to be as much an ideal of man as self-sufficiency. Man is a social being. Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, I love that too.
This is a man who walked a road of life that was a pretty rough one in many respects, and that wisdom he learned, he had to learn himself, and that wasn't easy. And I remember when I interviewed his grandson, and his grandson related the story about how the non-violent approach to life, he was, Gandhi himself, was taught by his wife.
Oh, my goodness, and what a thrill to interview his grandson.
Yes, I did. And it was, he's a delightful, delightful man, and the story about his grandmother was just absolutely phenomenal, as well as Gandhi, but he focused on his grandmother. But Gandhi credited his wife for teaching him the aspect of nonviolence. So I loved your quote in here. You say, a place of balance, a place where we're not trying to do it all ourselves, nor are we relying on others to do it for us. Personal interdependence. I know we are almost out of time, Peggy.
I can't believe it.
Isn't it amazing? It just goes by so well. I mean, it's just, your book is just wonderful. Help is not a four-letter word. What's your website?
My website is the book title, and it's www.helpisnotaforletterword.com, and four is spelled out, Donna, rather than being a number.
Thank you. I'm glad.
And by the way, let me say quickly that my email is on there, and I invite any of your listeners who feel like they have a problem, they'd like to email me. I would be most happy to help any way I can.
Oh, that was fabulous. Peggy Collins is my guest. Help is not a four-letter word. Why doing it all is doing you in. And hey, guys, if you've been listening to this, just as important for you as well. You know, women have become more aware of many environments because of changes in our social understandings. But you guys have been going through a lot of stuff for a lot of years yourselves, and this is a very good book, whether you're male, female, it doesn't make any difference. It is a good piece of material, helps you to gain an insight into yourself, and maybe you will be able to avoid having a panic attack like Peggy did.
Absolutely.
Peggy, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for being so candid and honest and sharing your insight and wisdom. It's been delightful.
And Donna, it's been delightful for me. Thank you so much for the wonderful questions.
Help is not a four-letter word. Put a .com behind it. You can find out more about Peggy Collins, and she's happy to give you insights for yourself. Help is not a four-letter word. Why doing it all is doing you in. And we are getting ready to go to a break, so don't you go away. We're going to be...
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, then these are the telephone numbers you can use. For the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. We've got a wonderful lineup of guests for this month, and I'll be telling you about that in a little bit. But before I do that, I wanted to mention an event that I am going to be participating in coming up in August. And that's Blink. We're going to be there. Well, this is an event that I've been involved with for a number of years, and it's the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It takes place the first three weekends in August. Time of the fair, Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. For those of you listening in the state of Washington or of any other part of the country, if Renaissance is a passion of yours, this is one of the finest fairs you could ever go to. And it's being held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. Now, if you want more information on this, go to WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. That'll pop up. They've got a number of links. You can go in, find out about all of the different activities. I mean, we just have so many things that go on there. There is the First Knight Academy that will teach the art of sword fighting to anyone who wants to learn. There's games for the children, medieval musical performances, plays, magicians, puppet shows, equestrian events. Oh, and the kids, oh, they just love this. It's perfectly wonderful for the family. Children, their eyes, I just love to watch them. Their eyes get as big as saucers when they see the knights in shining armor. Believe me, it shines. Going across the square, or when they're on their magnificent horses and they have jousting and they have all these wonderful, wonderful people in costumes. I love it because I get to dress up. I get to play queen for a day. It is marvelous. You get to step back into time, and it's a world of make-believe that just is delightful for friends and family. So this is taking place the first 3 weeks in August. That's the 4th, 5th, the 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. And I invite you to go to their website, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. It is just absolutely terrific. It's so exciting. I have so much fun there. I meet so many of you that come out. So tell your friends. Just know that any one of those weekends, or all three of the weekends, come on out. I'd love to see you. Again, phone lines are open. And if you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, we're so delighted you've been able to join our listening family. Here is the telephone number or telephone numbers you can call into if you would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive psychic insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S., 888-815-9756 for Canadians, or 530-876-3222. Well, we were so busy with different things going on with the show, I never did follow through and give you a special mint brownie recipe. I was going to do it for the holiday, but it didn't work out for me to do it in time. That's okay. If we have time today, then I will be getting that out to you. But meanwhile, I just wanted to share a thought. It says, if you don't decide what you want from your career, the people around you will make that decision for you. Now, that was a statement made by Harry Joyner, who was a recruiter for executives. But I think I'd like to add a different bit of wording to that. If you don't decide what you want from your life, the people around you will make that decision for you. And I found that happened to me more than once in my life experience. And it wasn't until I took the positioning of making my own choices that my life started to bring some fulfillment. Now, that happened a number of years ago, but that's something we need to remember. As individuals, we have the right of choice. So often, we are taught, for whatever reason, that we must always go along with what certain people say or certain environments produce. Just that's it. That's the only way you do it. Well, when you are able to reason for yourself and you weigh and measure and say, no, that's not going to be it for me, you are going to rock the boat for somebody in your environment. You know, when Peggy was talking earlier about how when we're so excessively self-sufficient, we try to control everything that is going on around us. And I think many times, those of us that are very, very independent, we will rebel. And I was talking with a friend just within the last week who said that she was extremely independent from the time she was just a little shaver. She wouldn't put up with anything that got in her way. She would just plow through things to get whatever needed to be gotten or whatever had to be done would get done. And this has been her trait all the way through her life. And the one thing that always caused her hackle to go up is when people would say, you do it my way or it's no way, because she'd always find an alternative way. She's one of these individuals that was going to always make her own choices, good, bad, or indifferent. And she acknowledges she made some bad choices along her decision-making road of experience. However, not a bad thing in the long run, because it enabled her to become an extremely fine teacher. And what happened with her is that she was able to pass along the understanding that she gained as a teacher to her students. And the irony of it is that she ended up teaching kids in prison. And because of who she was and is today, because of that independence, then she was able to understand a lot of what she was going to be dealing with young people that were very rebellious and didn't want to go along with what other people said. And she had learned how to communicate effectively with those students because she had gone through a lot of that herself. Life is really an amazing process. You may not know your career or the exact direction you're going to go in any moment of time, but we always can make choices. Make a decision based on what is going to give you the best opportunity for you to expand yourself in a level of knowledge, experience, or insight as you want it to be. It will make a big difference in your life, and it will affect those around you, too. But don't ever be afraid of being your own person. And as Peggy mentioned earlier, interdependence is something that's very important, and that was a very, very difficult lesson for me to learn. And I don't know that I've learned it 100%. I like to think I have, but I don't know, because I can be pretty stubborn and pretty independent myself. We've got a caller on the line. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Belinda, and I'm calling from Nogales, Arizona.
Nogales, Arizona. Boy, I bet you're cooking down there.
Yes.
Oh, man. Melinda, the first thing I'm looking at with you is you're holding a very tight rein on finances, which I don't have a problem with. That's fine. But I think what you're going to need to do is look at some options relative to where you want your finances to go, what it is you're wanting to accomplish. And it may seem a little far-fetched, but if you could have like a 2, 3, 5, 10, and 15-year plan, that sounds pretty outrageous, doesn't it? But if you could do something along those lines where you could sort of terrace your agenda, then I think it's going to be easier for you to actually reach it. If you try to do everything at once and make it an either-or, you're going to have a lot of frustration. It seems like you're going to have a lot more obstacles. Where if you can relax and just take it easy and have someone that you could sit down with that maybe could do some brainstorming with you about different options you would have for being able to increase your capital, I think that would be very good. One of the things I'm looking at, Melinda, with you is that your self-confidence is going through, I will describe, an expanded development. You have worked very diligently to get where you are, but there's something inside of you. It's as if you feel like you're a caterpillar in the metamorphosis, and you're not quite ready to come out of it, the cocoon, and be a butterfly. But you know something's going on. You can't quite put your finger on it. Well, don't be impatient with yourself. Make it okay. You can have time to play. You can have time to do things. This is very, very important for you. And so just be patient with yourself. You've got a lot going on right now. Don't add anything more to your agenda. Take time to enjoy your downtime when you have it. Now, I don't care if you're talking with a squirrel, eating a hot fudge sundae, or boogieing out till 4 in the morning. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever it is that allows you to separate from all of this mental intensity I'm seeing you going through, it's going to be a good thing. What question do you have for me today?
Wow, that's so incredible. I just made a proposal to a newspaper to start starting a feature story column, and I was wondering if you picked that up as being something that would be successful.
Now, tell me what the agenda is. You say a future story?
A feature. I would be featuring...
I'm sorry.
A local... I would be featuring local particular... It's a special population that I'd be featuring, and just covering their encounters with day-to-day situations.
I'll tell you what. This is going to be, for you, a real eye-opener. And it is going to put you into, I feel, a positioning of personal growth and development that is going to be wonderful. I think this is a very good project for you to do. Let's say you were wanting to talk about Navajo culture. I'll just toss that out for the heck of it. And you have a chance. You need to make an effort in doing this to know that you're going to be putting yourself on the line, because you're going to have to build a trust with the people that you come in contact with. And in developing that trust, then you're going to have access to stories. Now, one thing you must remember, before you submit any article, make sure that you allow a person to review it, to be sure you understand what they have told you.
Okay.
Get that clarity. I think this could be extremely interesting. And it's going to be a challenge, because there's a lot of stuff that you have in your head that you may think belongs with it. But if you will be with integrity with what they tell you and come from their positioning, I think you'll have more support than you could have ever imagined. And it'll be really interesting. Remember, always, it's the people, it is their story that counts.
Well, thank you. You're right. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And you take care, have a wonderful day, and don't forget to let your friends know about the show.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Melinda.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're getting ready to take a break, and hey, that phone line is open for you. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, then give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're calling in from Canada, 888-815 9756. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 877-876-5227. Or if you're calling in from Canada, 888-815-9756. And also we have a direct line, 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow and also who's going to be coming on next week. Mothers and Daughters Book Club is the publication we're going to be talking about. Shireen Dodson, a wonderful lady who came up with a formula for moms and daughters, and hey, it could even work for dads and sons. Actually, it could work for a whole family. How you can have a level of communication that you might not have otherwise. Then next week, we are going to be talking with Bill George, who is the former CEO of Medtronic, a man that has proven himself as a leader in the corporate world in a very significant way. His book is titled True North, and he's going to be addressing leadership policy. So we are going to be talking with him on Monday. Martha Woodruff, she's going to share with us on Tuesday how to stop screwing up. Ever had that experience? Well, I have. So Martha's going to give us some insight into that. And then Elfie Hornby. Elfie is a repeat guest of mine. She's written a trilogy about her life as being born in Germany, dancing for the Russians during the Second World War, and coming to America. And so this is her third book we're going to be discussing, So This is America. Then we're going to be talking about The Miracle of Death with Betty Kovacs, provocative title, fascinating, fascinating subject. And then on the following Friday, we're going to have an open mic day. So we've got a dynamic lineup of guests. Always remember, at bbsradio.com, you can go in and check on the scheduling for the guests that are upcoming. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can email bbsradio.com. Just hit that comment button, and we'll be glad to hear from you. And if you want to be in touch with me, you can contact me through my email, which is donna@delphiinternational.com. donna@delphiinternational.com. Well, let's see. I had promised you some mint fudge brownies. No, mint chip brownies, excuse me, not fudge brownies. Oh, well, you could add some fudge if you wanted to. Now, this is really all you have to do. This is so easy. But boy, does it taste good, especially on a warm summer day, because it has the mint in it. It's very refreshing. How easy is it? All you need is a box of chewy fudge family-style brownies. Just go to the pick up a box. And I know we've got a caller, but let me give the rest of these ingredients, and then I'll come back and finish it. Then you're going to need 2 eggs, half a cup of oil, and a half a cup of mini chocolate chips. Now write that down. When I come back, I'll give you the rest of the recipe. This is Donna. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Dominic, and I'm in London, England.
You're in London. And
yes,
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your name.
Dominic.
Dominic.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. I'm assuming that the weather in London... What time is it in London right now?
Oh, it's 10 to 12.
Midnight?
Almost, yes.
Oh, my goodness, you hearty soul, you. Well, thank you for calling in. Now, Dominic, I want you to get busy with your writing. You have some very unique ideas that need to be put down into a written format. There are different sides. It's like I'm watching different sides of your brain working. You have a very analytical, logical format that works in certain ways. Then you have what I'd almost call the sci-fi side, the fantasy side, and then you have this way of being able to weave things together. So the imagination, the creativity, the flow that goes through you is so unique that I would love for you to be able to put pen to paper or, you know, tap those computer keys, whatever works best for you. You are a man that I think is going through a tremendous release right now in your life. It's as if you have endured very, very heavy burdens for a long time. And I am seeing you taking them off one by one from your shoulders. And I'm seeing you being able to stand tall, stand straight, and you're saying, I've done my job. I've done what I needed to do. I am finished with what I had to take care of. I'm releasing my responsibility. I don't need to do this anymore. And what this is doing, it's going to enable you to get into more of what means the most to you from the center of your own being, from your heart. And I really think you have a love of communication that you've never really put out there the way you want to. And you're going to have the opportunity to express yourself. And it doesn't mean that you're going to become a hermit somewhere in the Himalayas. You are, I just think, needing this time. You're going to have about a year here. It started last April. About a year where you are going to find yourself sort of feeling like you're floating along in life. You don't feel like you really are grounded the way you think you should be. Have patience with yourself. Take care of one day at a time, because you are a very talented individual that I think is coming into your own, and I would hope that you would honor and respect that and be patient with yourself. It'll pay off handsomely. Do you have a question for me, Dominic?
Well, I'm just flabbergasted.
Now, why are you flabbergasted, Dominic?
Well, because you're so, that's a very brilliant thing you said, and I answered it very completely. Yeah, that's flabbergasted with wonder and amazement.
What would you like to ask me?
Okay, I'm trying to think now. I keep having the idea of being able to mentally project images into photographic form. I'm wondering how real this could be in the future.
All right. Trying to project images into what kind of form? Your voice broke.
Well, I keep imagining that, you know, I have mental images,
uh-huh,
and for some reason they should be able to come into a photograph.
And all right. What you're dealing with is an energy projection. Now, this is something that can be done. What I would like for you to do is work with meditation, but also to put maybe a large piece of something like paper, huge squares of paper, and as you're going into your meditative state, draw what you're feeling and seeing. Just sort of draw it out. What happens for someone to do what you want to do? It is entirely possible to do it. Your nervous system has not gotten to a point where it can handle what I would call the energy frequency that would support that projection onto material. It has been done. What a lot of people have a tough time understanding is the physiological adaptations a body needs to go through. You've heard the stories about the various gurus and how they're able to do all kinds of things. They go through years of training, whether it's Qigong, you know, whatever aspect someone wants to do. It takes time because the body has to be adapted. Now, it can be done instantly. But,
yeah.
Dominic, be patient. I hate to tell you, we're almost out of time here, so I'm going to have to go. But
well,
you're a
you.
Very gifted man, and whatever you do, don't feel like you do not have the opportunity to do something very unique. You will.
Thanks very much indeed.
It's been a pleasure having you as a guest, Dominic.
Say goodbye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. Well, I'm sorry. That mint brownie recipe is going to have to wait. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There's nobody else like you in this world. And whoever you are, wherever you are listening to this broadcast, know that you are a very special light in this universe, and we want you to keep yours shining as brightly as possible. Give to yourself, be kind to yourself, love yourself. It will bless you 1,000-fold. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.